بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Can you see my screen on your
Yes.
So, in the last lesson, we spoke about the definition of usul al-fiqh and the benefits of studying usul al-fiqh and some miscellaneous points around this. And then we spoke about the four types of dalail. So the author says, والأدلة الشرعية هي الكتاب والسنة والإجماع والقياس. The four types of dalils and proofs are these: Quran, Sunnah, Ijma, and Qiyas. And we spoke about this last week as well, that the first primary source is the Quran, and the Sunnah is a sharh and an explanation of the Quran. So these are the two primary sources. And then if we don't find anything in these two, we look towards the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. Maybe if they agreed on something, then it must be from Kitab and Sunnah. Okay, because they would never agree on something which is not from Kitab and Sunnah. And finally, we have Al-Qiyas, where there is a ruling which we already have established from Kitab, Sunnah, Ijma', and then there is another issue where we don't have any clear ruling, so we base it on those previous rulings which have been established through the primary sources. وَمَوْضُوعُهُ okay. The موضوع, the subject matter, what do we work with? الأدلّة الشرعية, the شرعي دلائل, meaning the proofs, من حيث إيصالها إلى أحكام العملية, in terms of their joining us with, or leading us to practical actions. وغايته, what is the purpose of this? معرفة الأحكام العملية من الأدلة الشرعية والتمكن من استنباطها منها. The purpose of studying Usul al-Fiqh is to gain knowledge of practical ahkam, practical rulings, from their shari'i dala'il. So we can understand what the dala'il are, what the reasonings are between the fiqh that we practice, and how they are connected to the rulings and actions. وَالتَّمَكُّنُ مِنْ إِسْتِنْبَاطِهَا مِنْهُ, and also to be able to deduce those ahkam from their respective dala'il. And then he says, وَلَمَّا كَانَتِ الْأَدِلَّةُ الشَّرْعِيَّةُ أَرْبَعَةٌ وَأَرْبَعَةً وَجَبَ أَنْ يُبْحَثَ عَنْهَا لِيُعْلَمَ بِهِ طَرِيقُ تَخْرِيجِ الْأَحْكَامِ. Since there are four shari'i dala'il, like we have discussed and agreed, it is necessary to discuss all four of them, so that by that the method of deducing rulings can be known. So the book is sectioned into four parts, discussing each of these types of dala'il. So the first is Al-Kitab, Al-Qur'an. So what is the definition of Qur'an? He says, هو القرآن المنزل على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is the Qur'an which was revealed to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So there's no need to explain that. المكتوب في المصاحف, which is written in the Masahif. Okay, so the Mus'haf that we have is mutawatir all the way up to Hazrat Uthman رضي الله عنه, and all the Sahaba agreed on that Mus'haf. The Sahaba at that time agreed on that Mus'haf that that was Kalamullah. المنقول عنه نقلا متواترا بلا شبهة فيه, and now that Quran and that Mus'haf has been transmitted to us in a mutawatir manner. Mutawatir, what does the word mutawatir mean? Mutawatir means that is transmitted through a large number of sources, such large numbers that it's impossible for them to be lying. So we can trace the Quran back to the Sahaba through hundreds of chains, okay, in all different cities. The Sahaba were spread throughout the world, and you could go anywhere in the east or the west, the north or the south, and they were reciting the same Quran. So that's tawatur. How is it possible, you know, in an age where there was no technology, no communication, and they were able to all recite the same Quran in the same manner throughout the world? They can't have made that up. That is the Quran which they took from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's mutawatir. Bila shubhatin fi, there is no shubha in regards to this Quran that it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Inshallah, if you go into an advanced level of ulum al-Quran, you will learn there are some qira'at which are shadha. So their ruling is not being discussed here, because we're talking about the Quran in the Mus'haf, which is mutawatir. وأجرى الأصوليون في كتاب الله تعالى وكذلك في سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أربع تقسيمات يحصل منها 20 قسما. Okay. So something that early Usulis, the early scholars of Usul did, particularly in the Hanafi Mazhab and in others as well, is they talk about language and words in four categories. And out of these four, you have 20 types of words. Ashiruna qisman. So on the next slide, this is the overview. Yeah. So the first four are here. Aam, khas, mushtarak, mu'awwal. Then we have zahir, nas, mufassar, muhkam. Khafi, mushkil, mujmal, mutashabih. Then haqiqat, majaz, sarih, kinaya. And عبارة الناس إشارة الناس دلالة الناس اختضاء الناس. Okay, so this first taqseem, the first four types, are related to وجوه النظم صيغة ولغة. In other words, the literal meaning of the word. Yeah, the literal meaning of the word. This second taqseem, the order is different in this chart. This is the second one. وجوه الاستعمال ذلك النظم. That how is it used? Sometimes one word has a certain literal meaning, but then the same word is used for example, for metaphorical meanings. So therefore, the first taqseem deals with the literal meaning, and the second taqseem, بالاستعمال, deals with the usage. The third and fourth, ظاهر نص مفسر محكم خفي مشكل مجمل متشابه. These deal with the clarity of the meaning. Sometimes the meaning of a word is very clear, where anybody can understand it, and sometimes it's not so clear, and it needs further investigation. And then the final تقسيم is الرابع في معرفة وجوه الوقوف على أحكام النظم. This deals with the method of, or the four methods of istinbat, four methods of taking dalil. Okay, so with these four taqseem, you have 20 types: khas, aam, mushtarak, mu'awwal, haqiqat, majaz, sarih, kinaya, zahir, nas, muhkam, mufassar, or mufassar, muhkam, khafi, mushkil, mujmal, and mutashabih. And finally, ibaratun nas, isharatun nas, dalalatun nas, ikhtizaun nas. So these are 20 topics and discussions that will be discussed in this book. So التقسيم الأول باعتبار الوضع. The first taqseem and the first distribution, or the first classification, is in terms of wada. Wada, like we mentioned last week, means the coinage. Okay, coinage. Or you can say original usage. In other words, literal meaning. Yeah? So literal meaning. So in terms of literal meaning, اللفظ باعتبار وضعه للمعنى على أربعة أقسام. In terms of its literal meaning, words are of four types: خاص, عام, مشترك, and مؤول. You can see here, خاص, specific, عام is general. مشترك is a homonym. And mu'awwal is the chosen expression. When you have a mushtarak word and you choose one or the other, then that is considered as mu'awwal. Okay, so these are the four types. So right now we're just going to talk about khas and am. Okay, first we could say, is the word a homonym, yes or no? Is it mushtarak, yes or no? If the answer is yes, we're going to deal with that later. If it's not mushtarak, then that means it only has one meaning. Okay, so if the word only has one meaning or literal meaning, then it will either be khas or am. Okay, so let me just write this down. Word which has, sorry about my handwriting, one literal meaning. Okay, so we're not talking about mushtarak here. We're only talking about, because mushtarak, we're not talking about homonyms. If a word only has one literal meaning, then it's either khas or am. Okay, the definition of khas, lafzun wudi'a li ma'nan ma'lumin aw li musamman ma'lumin 'ala al infirad. This is the key part which differentiates it from am. The khas refers to a unit, so it's something specific. It's not made up of lots of units. Whereas am refers to something which is made up of multiple units. Jam'an min al-afrad. Okay, so what's the difference between these two? Is that in khas, there's no chance of any exclusions. Okay, it's all or nothing. It's one unit, one individual, or one type of category, one type of thing. In am, because you have multiple units, there's a chance that, you know, some are excluded, some are not included. Maybe these are not included, these are not included. All right. So because of this, there's some difference between the two. So let's just study the definition first. Al-khasu lafdhun wudhi'a li ma'nan ma'lumin aw li musamman ma'lumin 'ala al-infirad. Khas is such a word which is coined for a known meaning or a known thing. Okay, so if we're talking about musamma, then we're talking about things which are tangible, things which we can see and feel. Okay, and ma'na is for abstract ideas. Okay, so things like an act, like dharaba, okay, means hit. So he hit, or she hit, or they hit. So the hitting is a ma'na. Okay, it's a meaning. It's not something we can actually visualize, or we can see, or we can touch. So any ma'nan ma'loom, if there is a meaning and we know what it means, and it's a single meaning, there's no chance of more than one meaning from a literal point of view, then that is ma'nan ma'loom. Or musamman ma'loom, anything, any object which we can touch, which is given a name, and is tangible, and it has a known literal meaning. And alal infirad, this means that it's a single individual, single unit. Okay, so it's not made up of many individuals. Okay, just as a side note here, that a fa'il and a harf will always be khas, because you can't, a fa'il never refers to many individuals or many units. One act is one act. Same with the huruf, they are all khas. Am will only be an ism, because sometimes nouns refer to more than one individual, like plural nouns. Okay, Muslimun, Mu'minun includes all the Muslims. They're made of so many. Also, some nouns which are not plural in terms of the wording, but meaning is plural, like al-qawm. Qawm is, from a grammatical point of view, qawm is singular, but it includes all the individuals of the people. Okay? So that would be am. So khas is a word which refers to an individual, a unit, one. سَوَاءٌ كَانَ ذَلِكَ الْمَعْنَى شَخْصًا كَزَيْدٍ أَوْ نَوْعًا كَرَجُلٍ أَوْ جِنْسًا كَإِنسَانٍ. It is the same if that meaning is a individual like Zayd, or a certain type, a نَوْع, like man, أو جِنْسًا, or a certain genus like insan. Okay, so these are three types of khas. Okay, shakhs, nau, and jins. The meaning is already what I mentioned, that it's an individual. So Zayd, we know Zayd is one individual. Okay, if I say rajul, like ra'aytu rajulan, I saw a man. You know, I just saw one man. So it's individual. Even though it could be any man in the world, but it's one. It's not more than one. So it's khas. Okay, or insan. If I say al-insan, it refers to the genus of insan. So if I say al-insan, one human being, okay, one human being, is even though it could be any human in the world, but it's referring to one individual insan. Okay, so therefore, these are all examples of khas. So is this clear so far?
Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah. مثاله قوله تعالى والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن ثلاثة قروء. This is the example of خاص. Okay. كلمة ثلاثة اسم خاص وضع لعدد معلوم فيراد بالقرء الحيض فإذا طلقت في الطهر تكون عدتها ثلاث حيض كوامل. Okay. In this verse, Allah Ta'ala says والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن ثلاثة قروء. That the lady who has been divorced, okay, so it's discussing the ahkam of when a woman is divorced, she must sit in iddah. She has a waiting period in which she should not marry. Okay, so divorced women are to remain waiting for three quru, three periods. Okay. So, in this verse, the word thalatha is khas because it has one known meaning, okay? And it's a ma'na ma'lum, it's an abstract meaning. We know what three is. The number between two and four is three. So, when I say three, we all know what it means. You can't, now, if somebody says that maybe by three he means five, or by three he means ten, that doesn't make sense because everybody knows what three means. Okay, so therefore, three is khas, and we must act upon it. So, what's the actual purpose of the verse? That when a lady has been divorced, she should wait for three periods before she can remarry. Okay, so kalimatu thalathatin ismun khasun. The word thalatha is a khas noun. Wudhi'a li'adadin ma'lumin, which has been coined for a known number, which we know. فَيُرَادُ بِالْقَرْءِ الْحَيِّذِ. Okay, this is where the difference of opinion comes in. Because the word قَرْءٌ, okay, so we're not talking about ثَلَاثَ, the main purpose over here, ثَلَاثَ is خَاس. ثَلَاثَ is خَاس. Okay, the word قَرْءٌ is actually a مُشْتَرَك word in Arabic. Because قَرْءٌ could mean menses, okay, when a woman is on her menstruation, and qar'un can also mean the absence of menses. In other words, what we call in Arabic the tuhr, the period where there is no menstruation. Okay, so now the fuqaha had to think that, okay, which one does it mean here? Because in the Arabic language, qar'un can mean either. Sometimes qar'un means hayd, menstruation. And sometimes qar'un means tuhr, purity, when there is no menstruation. So how do we decide which one it is? So the fuqaha looked into this, and specifically the Hanafi fuqaha, when they looked into this, they decided that divorce is to be given in tuhr. Okay? We always, it's haram to give a woman divorce when she is on her period. So let's say this is hayd. I put a ha for hayd. Yeah, sorry, I should start with tuhr. Okay, this is tuhr. Okay, hayz tuhr. Hayz and tuhr. So, if the divorce occurs in this tuhr, right? if the divorce occurs here, and we're going from right to left here, then one whole period goes, that's one. Another period goes, two. A third period goes, that's three. And now she is free to marry. Are you following? So therefore, yes, we have one whole hayz, two hayz, three hayz. Okay? This is if we consider par'un to mean hayz. If, on the other hand, we were to take the meaning of qar'un as tuhar, then the divorce is given here in this tuhar. Okay? So then the hayz goes, and then you have one. So this tuhar is actually counted, the fuqaha count this as one. So this tuhar is two and three. But in reality, that's not three, is it? Because the divorce is given somewhere between this tuhar. So we have one whole tuhar here, another whole tuhar here, but this one is not the full tuhar, it's part of it. He might have divorced her just one day before her period started. So in that case, it's two tuhars plus one day. Okay, so in any case, if we take the meaning of tuhar, then it will never be three full tuhars. It will be two and part of the third. Whereas in the Quran, it clearly says, ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوء. So if we take the meaning of قُرُوء as حَيْث, then we have one, two, three whole حَيْث. So we are acting upon and taking the literal meaning of ثَلَاثَة as three, not as two and a half or two and a bit, two and some. Okay. So therefore, and let's read the translation now. كَلِمَةُ ثَلَاثَة إِسْمٌ خَاسٌ وُضِعَ لِعَدَدٍ مَعْلُومٍ. The word ثَلَاثَة is a khas noun which has been coined for a known number. Therefore, the intended meaning of qar will be hayd, periods. So, if a lady is divorced in her in the tuhar, which is the norm, because it's not permissible to divorce her in hayd, so when the woman is divorced in tuhar, her iddat will be three complete hayd, three complete menstruations. حكمه الخاص دليل قطعي يجب العمل به لأنه يتناول مدلوله قطعا. Before we translate and explain this, we have to understand that all dalail, all proofs are of two types. What of two? You have قطعي and we have ظني. Okay, قطعي means it's definite. There's no doubt. So it's known with certainty. Okay? And zanni is where there is possibility of doubt. Okay? So not all dalail are qat'i. We can't expect every evidence to be 100% conclusive. Just like in any system of law. Okay? If you look in British law, American law, international law, you know, they have a term called beyond reasonable doubt. That as long as something can be proved beyond reasonable doubt, the judge can make a judgment based on it. Okay, you don't always have to have a video of the crime taking place. Otherwise, you know, many criminals would get away with what they do. Just like in law, we have beyond reasonable doubt. In Sharia, dala'il can be qat'i or zanni. When it comes to aqaid and beliefs, right? When it comes, then you need to have a qat'i dalil. So all our beliefs, all our aqaid are based on 100% qat'i dalil. However, for non-aqaid issues, we can also use zanni dalail. Okay? And many ahkam are based on zanni dalail, where there is a possibility of reasonable doubt. Just to give you an example, when it comes to a hadith, any hadith which is mutawatir, which is narrated by a huge number of sources and narrators, that is impossible to be a lie, that we would call qat'i. Yeah? But there are many hadith, which are sahih, meaning, you know, but we only have one or two chains of narration linking us back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like the first hadith in Bukhari, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ is a khabar wahid. Okay, because I believe Alqama narrates from Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. So it's only from one sahabi. So that would actually be a zanni, that because it's narrated from one person, there's a possibility of human error. But that doesn't mean we disregard it and we ignore it. We still have to consider it as a dalil, but it's a zanni dalil. It will not be acceptable in matters of aqa'id, but it's acceptable in matters of ahkam and in matters of fiqh, like, you know, something is wajib or sunnah or mustahab or certain details of ibadat, etc. We can use these. Okay, so all dala'il are qat'i or zanni. Okay, qat'i, known with certainty, without any possibility of doubt. Zanni, where there is a possibility of doubt. So usually if you have zannul ghalib, you know, most probable, then most probable cause, then that is sufficient. So what is the ruling of khas? Al-khasu dalilun qat'iyun. Khas is a qat'i dalil. Okay, so if Allah Ta'ala says ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ, that three, if somebody comes later and says, actually, I don't think it should be three, I think it should be five, I think one should be enough, then this is not acceptable. And, you know, there were serious concerns about that person's iman. Because Allah Ta'ala has said very clearly it's three, then what right do you have to change that number? Okay, so يَجِبُ الْعَمَلُ بِهِ, it's necessary and incumbent to act upon it. It's wajib to act upon it. لِأَنَّهُ يَتَنَاوَلُ مَذْلُولَهُ قَطْعًا, because it includes what it's referring to in a qat'i manner, okay, without any possibility of doubt. Okay, so you could say a khas is a word, is evidence which is necessary to act upon. This is because the denotation is with certainty. Okay, madlul, the thing it is referring to, itanawalu is included, and qat'an in a certain manner, known with certainty. So in simple terms, if we have a khas word in the Quran, we must act upon it. It's very clear. On the other hand, we have aam. Al-aamu lafzun yashmalu jam'an min al-afradi. Aam is a word which includes a group of individuals. Imma lafzan, either through its wording, like the word muslimina, mushrikina. That in according to the rules of grammar, these are plural words: muslimin, mushrikeen, Muslims, and polytheists. These words are plural, so clearly they include more than one. وَإِمَّا مَعْنًا كَمَّنْ وَمَا وَقَوْمْ وَرَهْتْ. Or this could be just in terms of meaning, such as the words man, ma. The word man means who or whoever. So this word itself is singular in terms of grammar, but we can use it for like a plural, like man ja'a bil hasana, whoever performs a good act, falahu ashru amthaliha. So it's not referring to a certain individual person, this is for everyone. Okay, so even though it's singular, but it has the meaning of plural. Same with ma, whatever. So what is a singular word, but it has the meaning of more than one individual in there, that whatever is such, then that is included in there. Also the word qawm, which means people, rahat, which means a group of people. So grammatically, qawm and rahat are singular words, but because they refer to groups, they are aam. ثُمَّ الْعَامُ نَوْعَانِ. The aam is of two types. Okay, so we mentioned before that aam is something which is made of many individuals, yeah? So, now, like I mentioned before, that when there's many individuals, there's always a possibility of certain individuals being excluded. Because of this possibility, Some ulama and fuqaha actually consider the am to be zanni. So every am is a zanni, which means that there is always a possibility of certain individuals being excluded. Okay. However, in the Hanafi mazhab, you have two types. Okay, so we have am, amun khussa minhu al-ba'd. An amun lam yukhassa minhu. Okay. The example of amun lam yukhassa minhu is inna Allah bi kulli shay'in alim. Allah has knowledge of everything. So in this term, بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ is عَام. It's عَام and it's غَيْر مَخْصُوص. That nothing can be excluded from there. Allah has knowledge of everything. So nothing can be taken out. There is not anything which Allah does not have knowledge of. Okay? So this is عَام. لَمْ يُخَصَّ مِنْهُ. This is such a عَام from which nothing can be specified or excluded. Okay? Everything is included in there. On the other hand, عَامٌ خُصَّ مِنْهُ الْبَعْضِ. The example is أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءِ. Okay? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted trade. Okay? Now, البيء includes all the different types of buying and selling. Okay? So, if this ayat was on its own, we would say, any kind of bartering, any kind of deals that you do whenever you swap one thing for another, whether it's currency for currency, currency for items, items for items, in every case, the bay' should be allowed and it's halal. However, immediately after this, Allah Ta'ala said, halal Allahul bay' wa harrama riba. Okay, riba is also a type of bay'. Because in this verse, riba is referring to riba al-fadl, where if you have, for example, one sa' of dates, one basket of dates, and you want to exchange it for two baskets of dates, okay? Or you have one container of wheat, and you exchange it for two containers of wheat. So the hadith very clearly prohibits this. الذهب بالذهب والفضة بالفضة والتمر والتمر والملح بالملح والشعير بالشعير والحنطة بالحنطة يدا بيد مثلا بمثل. إلى آخر الحديث. The order was slightly different, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you exchange gold for gold, or silver for silver, or wheat for wheat, or barley for barley, or salt for salt, then in some riwayat there's raisins as well, or dates for dates, then they must be hand in hand and in equal measure. And otherwise, it is riba. So this riba is a type of bay' which is being excluded from bay'. Okay? So the first part of the ayat said, أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءِ. All bay' is permissible. But then the second part of the ayat is saying, actually, there is one type of bay' which is not permissible, which is riba. Okay? So let's say, if there are 100 different types of buyu, we now know from this ayat that at least one has been excluded. So now this has become makhsusul ba'z. Okay, this is amun khussa minhu al-ba'z. So if there is a am word in the Quran and no individuals have been excluded, then the ruling of that is like khas. It's qat'i, we have to act upon it. However, if certain individuals have been excluded, then the ruling of that we'll speak about in a few moments, inshallah. So, it says, al-amu naw'ani, am is of two types. Number one, the first type, amun lam yukhassa anhu shay'. Such an am from which nothing has been specified or excluded. كقوله تعالى, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Indeed, Allah has knowledge over everything. So بكل شيء إذا عام هي there is no exclusion from there. وقوله تعالى فقرأوا ما تيسر من القرآن. Read whatever is easy from the Quran. The word ما هي is عام. That read whatever from the Quran. This is why Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi is of the opinion that if you read any portion of the Quran in Salah, then that Salah is valid and the farz is done. Whereas Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi says that if you don't read Surah Fatiha, the Salah is completely void and invalid. Inshallah, we'll discuss that in more detail at the appropriate time. But the point over here is that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi is saying, if you say that we must read Surah Fatiha, then we are not acting upon ma, which is am here,
because we have specified it.
So we don't have the right to specify something which is am in the Quran. Therefore, you read anything from the Quran, the Salah should be valid. Because the word ma is am. حكمه هو قطعي بمنزلة الخاص يجب العمل بمدلوله. The
ruling of this am is that it is قطعي, just like خاص. Okay, بمنزلة الخاص, in the same level as خاص. And it is necessary to act upon its مدلول, act upon what it refers to. Okay, its denotation. So whatever is whenever a word is am, whatever it's referring to, we must act upon that, is qat'i.
And there is no reason to doubt any individuals from it. So all the individuals must be included.
But the second type,
وَعَامٌ خُصَّ عَنْهُ الْبَعْضِ.
This is an am from which certain individuals have been excluded.
فَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعِ. Like Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala has made bay' halal. Allah has permitted bay'. خُصَّ عَنْهُ الْبَيْعُ الَّذِي فِيهِ الرِّبَى. That bay' in which there is riba has been excluded from this, بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, with the saying of Allah Ta'ala, وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Okay, so حُكْمُهُ, what's the ruling of this? يجب العمل به في الباقي مع احتمال التخصيص. This is where the difference comes in. That, like I said before, let's say there are 100 different types of bay. Okay, these are all different types of bay. أحل الله البيع. So all of these should be halal. But now وحرم الربا has excluded one. One type of bay is not included. Now, what this does is this creates a possibility or a doubt that what if others are also excluded? Okay? Because there must be a reason for riba to be excluded. There must be a reason why riba is excluded. So, there is a possibility that there may be a similar reason in other afraad, like this one, in these individuals. So, because of this, the status of عام مخصوص البعض is no longer status of ظني. Okay, and once, so the initial, the first تخصيص has to be قطعي from the Quran, like in this ayah, وحل الله البيع وحرم الربا. The initial تخصيص needs to be قطعي. Once you have one تخصيص done through a قطعي دليل, then further تخصيص, further exclusions can be made with ظني دلائل. So ظني دلائل, for example, خبر واحد, أحاديث, okay, أحاديث which are not متواتر, and also قياس. Okay, so if we find something else which is similar to riba, then we can also exclude that based on قياس now. Okay, so if I just explain again, if we have عام غير مخصوص البعض, this is عامٌ لم يخص منه, that nothing has been excluded from it. So, because this is a strong unit, nothing has been excluded, we don't have the right to exclude any individuals of these based on a ظني دليل like خبر واحد and قياس. خبر واحد are non-متواتر أحاديث, they are ظني. And قياس is also ظني.
So قبر واحد and قياس don't give us قطعي knowledge. The level of knowledge they give us is ظني. So because عام is قطعي, you can't exclude individuals from a قطعي using a ظني. In other words, you can't exclude individuals from an عام لم يخص منه using a خبر واحد and قياس, for example. However, once it becomes مخصوص البعض, okay, or خص منه البعض, now the status is no longer قطعي. Now the status has become ظني. Why has it become ظني? Because when we remove one individual, then that tells us there must be some reason for removing that individual. And that same reason could be found elsewhere. So for this reason, the status is no longer قطعي, it is now ظني. Okay? So now, the first exclusion was done by the Quran, by قطعي. Now further exclusions can be done through خبر واحد and قياس. That is why there are many types of transactions which are considered as prohibited and impermissible by the fuqaha, and the dalail for them are not قطعي. Okay? Many ahadith are خبر واحد, they are ظني, but based on that, the fuqaha have said that this type of bay is impermissible, that type of bay is impermissible. Why? Because the first takhsis was done in the Quran, وحرم الربا. So further takhsis can be done through ahadith, khabar wahid and qiyas. On the other hand, if it was just halallahu al-bay, Allah has permitted all types of bay, then for us to start excluding certain types of bay and saying this bay is haram, that bay is haram, would be very difficult because we would be going against the qat'i of the Quran with zanni dalail, which is not permissible. Okay? So in other words, to summarize, if you have a qat'i dalil and you want to exclude certain individuals, you need a qat'i dalil. But once some individuals have been taken out with a qat'i, the status of the aam now drops to zanni. And therefore, you can exclude further individuals using other zanni dalail. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, so we can explain. Faida. التقسيس قد يكون بمخصص مجهول فقوله تعالى وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا لأن البيع الذي فيه الربا مجهول وقد يكون بمخصص معلوم كقول الأمير اقتلوا المشركين ولا تقتلوا أهل الذمة. This takhsis which takes place could sometimes be in a known manner and sometimes it's not clear. Okay? For example, in أَحَلَّ الْبَيْءِ أَنْ حَرَّمَ الْرِبَى, what is riba? Okay? Just looking at this verse, if we didn't have any context, we didn't have the ahadith, and the fuqaha didn't explain it to us and clarify it for us, we wouldn't really know what riba is. Okay? Because the word riba in Arabic just means increase. Okay? Any increase could be riba. So this word is mujmal, it's majhul, it's unclear. Okay? The clarification came in the ahadith, but on its own, this word is unclear. So even though it's not known, it's unclear, but it can be a mukhassis. Okay? So sometimes taqsis happens with a majhul, mukhassis majhul, an unknown mukhassis, specifier or excluder. Like the saying of Allah Ta'ala, Allah has made bay halal and riba haram. لأن البيع الذي فيه الربا مجهول, that bay in which there is riba is majhul. It's not clear that what does riba actually mean. وقد يكون بمخصص معلوم, and sometimes the مخصص is known. We know exactly what's being excluded. كقول الأمير, like the أمير, if the leader, the military general says, اقتلوا المشركين, that kill the enemy. ولا تقتلوا أهل ذمة. However, do not kill the people of Dhimma, those who we have an agreement with. Okay? So, al-mushrikeen, the word is aam. It includes all of them. But then, ahl-dhimma is a mukhassis because it's excluding certain individuals from al-mushrikeen. And we know exactly who they are. We know who the Ahl al-Dhimma are. It's well defined, it's clear. So therefore, in the second example, اقتلوا المشركين ولا تقتلوا أهل الذمة, the مخصص is معلوم. Whereas in the first example, أحل الله البيع وحرم الربا, the مخصص is الربا, and الربا is مجمل, and therefore it's unclear, so the details are not known. Either way, the point over here is that whether the مخصص is معلوم or مجهول, in both cases, the حكم will change, that it will no longer be قطعي like عام لم يفص عنه بعض, rather it will become ظني. Okay, so over here we come to the end of the discussion on خاص and عام. خاص is one individual, is قطعي, we must act upon it. عام is made of more than one individual. Initially, it's قطعي, we must act upon it. However, if certain individuals are excluded, then it becomes ظني. We still need to act upon it, but there is possibility of other individuals being excluded based on ظني دلائل. Okay? You can't just start excluding individuals because you feel like it. You still need a دليل. The difference is that when it was قطعي, you had to have a قطعي دليل. Now it's ظني, so you can do تخصيص with ظني دلائل. Then we come on to المشترك. We mentioned before that خاص and عام are معلوم المراد. Okay, the meaning is known. The literal meaning is known. مشترك is where it's معلوم المراد, but it has more than one possible meaning. Therefore, a specific literal meaning cannot be known straight away. Okay, and the example we mentioned before, the word قروء in Arabic is used for both period and طهر, the absence of period. So therefore, it's a مشترك word. So when you see that word, you need to look at the context, you need to think about it, you need to look into, look around it, look at the details, and then decide what does it mean. Okay, so whenever you get a مشترك word, okay, you need to think, what are we talking about? A very famous in you must have learned Arabic, the word al-jariya could mean a slave, a female slave, and it can also mean a ship. So now, based on the sentence, the context, where you're talking about, what you're talking about, you'll understand the meaning, and you have to figure out what the meaning is. Once you decide on a meaning, now that is mu'awwal. That is mu'awwal. Okay, so mu'awwal is not separate to mushtarak. Mu'awwal is basically the chosen expression that when we think about a homonym, when we ponder and we look at the signs and we come to a conclusion, then that conclusion is called mu'awwal. Now, I want you to tell me, do you think the mu'awwal should be qat'i or zanni? Sheikh Saeed?
It's not clear.
Sorry?
It's not clear until you figure out what it's meaning in a sentence.
So then if we think about it and we come to a certain conclusion, okay?
All for example, right. It couldn't be cut. You figure it out.
Because it's figured out based on our understanding, we can't consider it to be cut now. Our understanding has a possibility of error.
Wouldn't it be if not necessarily our understanding from what is Muwattir, you had Muwattir in the Quran and then also?
Sorry?
Are you adding in the filaki of the word period? That would have to be, you'd have to go back to Hadith, Muwattir.
Exactly. So whatever conclusion we come to, that's going to be zanni now, because we've had to think about it. It's based on our understanding. There's a possibility of error, so it's no longer considered as qat'i. It's zanni now. Does that make sense?
So yes,
al mushtarak lafzun wudi'a li ma'nayayn mukhtalifayn. Mushtarak is a word which has been coined for two different meanings. Like we said last week, the word plant Or I think you gave another example. I don't remember what you said.
Cell. It could be a jail cell. Could be like Excel. You have a cell there. Biology, you got a new cell. So you got that's three meanings there.
Exactly. Or the batteries that we put, you know.
Battery cell, yes.
Yeah. So one word has more than one meaning. أو لمعان مختلفة الحقائق. Or many meanings whose حقائق, whose realities are different, meaning they refer to different things. For example, the word جارية, I already mentioned, it could mean slave girl, or it could be a ship. Okay? Well, مشتري is the name of a planet. Okay, I don't remember which planet it is. It's the name of one of the planets in Arabic. Or it could mean buyer, purchaser in the trade. قرؤن could mean عيض, which is period, and it could be ظهر. So these three words all have more than one meaning from a literal point of view. Therefore, they are مشترى. حكمه إذا أريد أحد معانيه لا يراد معناه الآخر. Okay. When you intend one of its meanings, then the other meaning cannot be intended. Okay. You can't say the word cell and mean both the jail cell and the biological cell at the same time. You either mean one or the other. Okay. When I say the word jariya, it either means slave girl or it means ship. It can't mean both. Okay. When I say mushtari, it either means the planet mushtari or it means the buyer in a trade. It doesn't mean both at the same time. Similarly, al-qar, it either means hayz or it means tuhar. It doesn't mean both at the same time. Yeah? So in all homonyms, all mushtarak words, when we use them in language, we mean one or the other. We don't mean both at the same time. The same applies to the Quran. That in the Quran, if there is a mushtarak word, it will either mean one or the other, but it shouldn't mean both at the same time. Okay, and then al-mu'awwal. I'm just finishing off now. Al-mu'awwal lafzun turujjiha ba'dhu ma'anihi bi ghalib ar-ra'y. Mu'awwal is such a word which has many meanings, and one of those meanings has been preferred. Okay, one of those meanings has been preferred bi ghalib ar-ra'y. Okay, based on considerable assumption. Okay. غالب الرأي, غالب الظن. These is a technical term where you think something is most probable. Okay. Let's say this is the scale. Okay. This is yes. This is no. Okay. If I'm 50-50, if I'm here, 50%, that is doubt, isn't it? That is shak. That is doubt. Right? So I don't know if the answer is yes or no. But now if I tip the scales a little bit over here, this now becomes zan. I think it's a no, or I think it's a yes. So when you get more closer, this is yaqeen. This is 100% yaqeen. Okay? Am I making sense? I don't want to confuse you further. So this is
100%. Keep going.
Yeah? This is 100% yaqeen. And if I'm 50-50, I have shak. I don't say 50-50, I don't know either. It could be yes, it could be no. If I'm over here, yaqeen, 100%, I know it's yes. In between, all of this is zan. So if I am more towards no or more towards yes, that is zan. And if I get closer to yaqeen, this is known as ghalib zan or ghalib ra'i. That most probably it's a yes. Okay, so when it comes to mu'awwal, we are relatively sure. We're closer to knowing than not knowing. But there is a small possibility of us being wrong. Okay, so this is what we call ghalibur ra'i, considered assumption. Okay, so a mu'awwal is a word which has been preferred, certain meanings of which have been preferred based on ghalibur ra'i, based on considered assumption. كترجيح معنى الحيض من القرء عند الأحناف, like giving preference to the meaning of حيض in قروء according to the أحناف. Okay, but the Shafi'is, they take قروء to mean طهر. So now we don't say outright they are wrong, because there's a possibility they're right. We say that we believe we have a greater chance of being correct based on our ijtihad, but they are, there's a possibility of them being right as well. So therefore, even though we prefer one meaning, we don't say it with 100% certainty, but we still, we must act upon it. حُكْمُهُ وُجُوبُ الْعَمَلِ بِهِ مَعَ احْتِمَالِ الْخَطَأِ. The ruling of مُؤَوَّل is the necessity of acting upon it with the possibility of mistake. So even though there's a chance that we could be wrong, but because we have reasonable belief or reasonable knowledge, okay, beyond reasonable doubt, so we have to act upon it. We can't just ignore it. Okay, so I think that's all for today. So alhamdulillah, we've completed the first taqseem, right? From the, if we go back from these five, we've completed the first one. The am, khas, mushtarak, mu'awwal. Now khas has certain types. Amr, nahi, mutlaq, muqayyad. We'll speak about that later, inshallah. But we've learned that khas is a, it has one meaning, so it's not a homonym, and it refers to one individual. Am has one meaning, it's not a homonym, but that meaning consists of more than one individual. And mushtarak is a homonym, and when we decide on a certain meaning of mushtarak, then that becomes mu'awwal. Okay? Are there any questions?
Yes, this chart that you have up now, is that in English anywhere? Translated anywhere? Is it translated into English anywhere?
Not that I can recall. Okay. If I find something, I'll send it over to you, inshallah. I'll ask the admins to forward it over. But I don't. Okay. I only have Arabic version.
Right. Okay.
So if that's all, then we'll leave it there, inshallah, and we'll continue next week. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair.